All right, good to see you guys. Got some new faces. If I didn't get a chance to meet you, I'm James Sanford. The beautiful redhead there in the front row is Sam. His hair's turned silver. But next to him is the other beautiful redhead, my wife, Julie. Yeah. Just teasing you, Sam. Sorry, I gave you a hard time. So before we get going, I just wanted to highlight a couple things. One was this February. Valentine's Day is on Sunday. Pretty cool. Actually, there's some fun things. We're focusing, because there's a lot going on. We've got the membership class today after service. If you're not a member and you've been here for a while, you feel like this is your home, it's important to come. Membership is so important to the body. It's that act of commitment, that saying, this is my family. I'm going to serve here. I am committed here. We need each other. And it's just, it is a spiritual step, and it's biblical. So I encourage you, please come to that membership meeting. We've got some wonderful soups and salads. It'll be a great time. So then we've got our meeting that Andy talked about, the whole congregational meeting coming up next week. But then in February, we're going to have a Super Bowl party here at the church. We're going to have a potluck. That's right. That's right. We're going to have a potluck first, and then we're going to have, there's a, you know, an hour or two before the game starts, so we'll have some games and stuff, and then we're going to be watching the game here. So I'm excited about that on the 7th. And then on February 14th, Valentine's Day, so Julie and I have volunteered to watch your guys' kids, so start making plans for a lunch date. We'll take care of the kids. You guys go out to lunch. But before that, on the 12th and 13th of February, Friday and Saturday, Smith Rock Church across the way is doing a love and respect conference. So it's a wonderful thing to do for your marriage. Really encourage you guys. Julie and I are thinking we're probably going to be there. So sign up over at Smith Rock. Let them know you're coming. It'll be great. And then in March, be saving up. New Life Family Fellowship is doing another marriage retreat down in Sun River. It is, if you sign up through the church, it's $100 less than it would be, but it's still spendy. It's like $400, $450, right in there. So you want to be saving. If finances are an issue, let us know. We'll see, you know, what we can do to help you out, because we really want to see your marriage thrive. That's so important to us. So in March, there's that, and then there's also a men's retreat. There's also Does that help? There's also a men's retreat in March that you should be saving for. I want to see all the guys out there. We're partnering with several different churches here in the area and also up in Washington, and going to Family Life Ranch. So looking forward to that. Yeah. Really? Mm-hmm. There you go, familylife.org, half price. That's awesome. So if that's something that you guys are at all interested in, please go and check that out on the website. That's terrific. Yes?
So what was the day and time I could drop DeAndre off with you?
February 14th, Valentine's Day, right after service. We're going to watch him for 2 hours. That's right. That's right. Good for you. Taking advantage of it. Yeah, you got to come back. No, he's a sweet boy. For those of you who haven't been here for the last several weeks, we are reading through the Gospel of Luke. We looked at Jesus' birth, and now we looked at Jesus as a young man, and now we're looking at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Really, last week was John the Baptist preparing the way, and now this week Jesus is getting baptized, and he's starting the ministry. And so that's pretty exciting. And as we're looking at the beginning of Jesus' story here, we're also talking about the five values that Dayspring holds. We talked about Dayspring values family and children and family. However you want to look at that, they are a huge priority to us. And I want to apologize. I don't like having the computer up here. I haven't done that before. But our network was having some issues. I could not get it to connect. And so I'm print for me. So I've got them here. So family and children are a huge priority for us. And then we talked about showing and sharing Jesus. Huge priorities for us. Huge values for us. Today we're going to be talking about we value prayer and worship. Right? This is our third set of values, and it's so important. I decided that instead of just talking about it, we need to do it, right? It's not enough to just value it. We need to practice it. So we're going to have some time after I stop talking which hopefully won't be too long, right? We're going to have some time to pray and to worship together as a family. But I want to read to you how those values are phrased. We value children and family. We value loving and teaching children while strengthening and discipling families. Isn't that good? I'll read that again. We value loving and teaching children while strengthening and discipling families. And then showing and sharing Jesus, we value bringing people to a relationship with Jesus by loving and serving. Amen? Yeah, we value bringing people to a relationship with Jesus by loving and serving. And today, we value seeking God with heartfelt and thankful prayer and worship. We value seeking God with heartfelt and thankful prayer and worship. That's what we're going to do today. And we've got 2 more weeks in January. You guys are going to have to wait. I'm not going to spill the beans. I'm not going to tell you what they are. You're going to have to wait to find out what the next 2 are. So if you would turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3. That's where we're going to start today. Gospel of Luke, chapter 3. And we're going to start at verse 21. So we just looked at Jesus' birth and John the Baptist's birth, John the Baptist preparing the way, and then he's baptizing all the people, he's preaching in the wilderness, and now Jesus comes. Jesus is about 30 years old. Really, at this point, nobody knows him. He's been living in obscurity, little town of Nazareth, out in the backwaters. He's been a carpenter. He's been living life just like you and me, right? He's been taking care of his family. Most scholars think that his father, father Joseph, passed away early on. And so he's probably, as the oldest son, working to help take care of Mary and the rest of the children. He's fulfilling his responsibilities as a righteous man of God, as a Jew born under the law. And now at 30 years old, he's just been living his life quietly in obscurity and relative poverty. But he's coming, and things are about to change radically. If you pick up with me at verse 31, it says, "Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased.'" Isn't that wonderful? "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." Isn't it good? And you know, when you are in Jesus, you know what that means? That voice from heaven's talking to you. "You're my beloved son or daughter, and with you I'm well pleased." The Holman Christian Standard Bible translates it, "And my delight is in you." Isn't that beautiful? We're in Jesus. And then, "my beloved son," that's a quotation from from Psalm chapter 2, which is like this kingly psalm. He's the king. You better kiss the king or be mad. And it's this picture of Jesus coming, and he's going to reign in righteousness and authority. And then, "with you I am well pleased," is this quotation from Isaiah, where we get the picture of the suffering servant. And so it's these two pictures of Jesus together, right at the beginning of his ministry. The coming king and the suffering servant together. And now, I'm going to keep reading, and I told my family I was going to do this, and they thought I was, an idiot. but I want to read through the Gospel of Luke. And this next section is in the Gospel of Luke, and it's here for a reason, so I'm going to read it. Jesus, when he began his ministry, was about 30 years of age, being the son, as was supposed, of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Matthat, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Janai, the son of Joseph, the son of Mattathias, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Esli, the son of Nagai, the son of Maoth, the son of Mattathias, the son of Simeon, the son of Josech, the son of Joda, the son of Joannan, the son of Resa, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the son of Neri, the son of Melchi, the son of Adi, the son of Kosam, the son of Elmadam, the son of Ur, the son of Joshua, the son of Eleazar, the son of Joram, the son of Matthat. You get where we're going here? Isn't this cool? Every one of these is a real person. Every one of these is a real generation, a father and son relationship. It's a real time, a real moment in history. Right about where I pause, we're in the middle of the monarchy now, in this period of time, that David, you know, and his descendants, now they're king over Israel. And these are real people that God used to bring his son. And who knows what God's going to do through your life. I guarantee you that Joram, the son of Matthat, probably never thought that his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson would be the son of God, right? But that's what God did. And he used Joram, the son of Matthat, for that purpose. How cool is that? The son of Levi, and also it's interesting to see the influence of father and children. Think of the 12 tribes of Israel as I read this next one. The son of Matthath, the son of Levi, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph. 4 kids in a row, generations in a row, all named after the 12 tribes. And see, fathers really influence their sons. There's a big impact that can go for generation and generation. Joseph, the son of Jonam, the son of Eliakim, the son of Meleah, the son of Minna, the son of Matthada, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, who was the husband of, or excuse me, Boaz, the son of Salma, the son of Nashon, who was the husband of Rahab, the prostitute. Kind of fun. The son of Amminadab, the son of Admon, the son of Army, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham. And that's where Matthew stops. He stops with Abraham, actually starts with Abraham. Jesus was a Jewish king. He was the son of David. But Luke keeps going. It doesn't just stop with Abraham. Abraham had a father too. Abraham's father was Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Serug, the son of Reu, the son of Peleg, in whose time the world was divided, the Tower of Babel. Now that's where we are in history. The son of Eber, the son of Shelah, the son of Canaan, the son of Arphaxad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah. See, now Luke is going all the way back. Jesus isn't just Jewish. He's all of us. All of us have descended from Noah. Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the 3 sons of Noah, all the nations came from them. Jesus was one of us. You and I. He's our kin, our folk. How cool is that? The son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, who walked with God and then he was not. The son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Canaan, the son of Enos, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. That's quite a genealogy, huh? Isn't it amazing? It stretches back all the way to the very beginning. I would love to be able to see my genealogy written out like that. That would be so interesting. And I think in heaven, I might be able to see that. Maybe. But Jesus here, if you count all the generations, 77 generations back to God. 77. Jesus came at 7:7. In the Bible, 7, the number of completion, perfection. He came at the perfect time. God knew right what he knew exactly what he was doing, even with Johann, the son of Matthat. God knew exactly where he was at. He knew what generation number this was. He had a plan, and 7:7 was coming. Jesus was coming. And then Jesus, the son of Adam, he was that second Adam. It's interesting that 76 generations later, there's Jesus, but that Jesus was before Adam. Right? Adam is our father. And in him we have all sinned and have this cursed nature. But Jesus was before Adam. And now we're in Jesus who was first. We call him the last Adam, but really he was first. Isn't that cool? The son of Adam, the son of God. So where Adam, the son of God, blew it, Jesus, the son of God, restored it for all of us. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. Poor man. But Jesus got hungry just like you and I. 40 days is a long time for Jesus, just like it's a long time for you and I. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God." Now, what did God just say to Jesus when we started reading? "You're my beloved son, with you I'm well pleased." And then what did we see in the genealogy going all the way back? The son of God. And Satan here comes. Now, if you really are the son of God, every time God does a wonderful work in your life, Satan comes along. Maybe. Did God really say that you can't eat from any tree in the garden? Maybe. I tell you what it really looks like. And he tries to redefine things for us. And it's our job to stand on the word of God. And that's exactly what Jesus does here. He says, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." So he quotes Deuteronomy, the children of Israel wandering in the desert. Says, "I'm going to depend on God." Where Israel failed, where Israel quarreled and grumbled and said, "God, feed me now. If you're really God, then prove it. I'm hungry. God." Right? Israel in the wilderness. Jesus, now fasting 40 days, probably about the amount of time that they went from Egypt before God started sending manna. I think for them it was about 30 days. And Jesus is saying, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to use my power to my own benefit. I'm going to rely on my Father. And he uses the word of God and says, Satan, this is the way it is. And Jesus answered him, man shall not live by bread alone. And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus, you don't have to die on the cross. You don't have to go through with all this, be hated by everybody, be spit at, have your beard pulled out, be beat, be whipped, be bloody. Just compromise. Just come on, let's make a deal. Why don't you worship me? Put me first here, and you can have it all. It's easy. Same thing in our life. And Jesus responds, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. I am not going to prize the promise of God above the one who gave the promise. Worship the Lord your God only. Serve him only. I'm going to worship God and put him first in my life. Not these things that I'm hoping for that are good. Jesus is going to receive all the kingdom someday. It's a good thing. But I'm not going to worship that over my God. I'm going to trust him and take the path he marks out for me, even when it's marked by suffering and difficulty. And he took him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And now Satan's quoting scripture. Did you know Satan knows scripture? He's had a long time to read it, right? Long time to memorize it, long time to think about it. He knows it better than I do. A little scary thought. It's important for us to rely then on Scripture and on the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit knows it better than Satan. The Holy Spirit wrote it, and the Holy Spirit's living inside of me. So Jesus answered him. Hey, you're using that out of context, Satan. You know, that's not what it's supposed to be. It's you know, originally it was, it's talking about if you fall into trouble, not if you throw yourself into trouble. He could have said any of that, but really what he says is, it said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. I'm not going to test God. I'm not going to endanger myself to make him prove himself to me. I'm just going to trust him at his word. And when the devil had departed, had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Okay. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is true, that it is life to us. Oh, that it is nourishing to us and strength to our body. We love you and praise you, Lord, and thank you for the provision that you gave us here in Scripture. Pray that your Spirit would guide us, that you'd speak to us and anoint our time today. Draw us into your presence in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to move a little fast through this because, like I said, we want to have some time to pray and worship. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him. Pause. When did the Holy Spirit fall on Jesus? When he was baptized, right? And matter of fact, if you read in the other Gospels, that's exactly what they say. But Luke adds an extra detail. The other Gospels kind of, they don't prioritize. They have other things that they're prioritizing. What does Luke add? When does the Holy Spirit fall on Jesus? When he's praying. Jesus also had been baptized and was praying. The heavens were opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form. You know, powerful things happen when Jesus prays. Isn't that true? Yeah. Think about it. If you go to that next slide, next time it really talks about Jesus praying, it does talk about him going, in Luke, it talks about him going off into the wilderness to be by himself for a while, and we assume that he probably was praying. But this is the next time it actually says it. In these days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night long, all night, he continued in prayer to God. Whew. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles. Jesus is going to commit the future of the kingdom of God to the Holy Spirit on these 12 men. Is that an important decision? Yeah. And what does Jesus do before he makes that decision? He prays all night long. Whew. The only time I think I've ever done that was in Kenya. You know, they have this prayer muscle over there that we just don't flex. And they just got together in this huge stadium and they prayed all night. They really did it. I always fall asleep. I wake up and my face is smeared, because I'm kneeling on the side of my bed and I've got wrinkles on the side of my face. Yeah, I can't do it. I struggle. But Jesus, he prayed all night long before he made this important decision. Big things happen when Jesus prays. If you look at the next slide. Now it happened that as he was praying alone, I love how it says, oops, you can tell I typed this. There's a typo down there. But it says, now it happened that as he was praying alone, the disciples were with him. Don't you like that? I love that. Jesus is praying and he's alone. He's alone from the crowds, from the big crush. He got away by himself. But he let the guys who he was mentoring and discipling and teaching, he let them be a part of him, even his private life. They got to see who Jesus was on the inside. And who was Jesus? A man of prayer. And they got to see it firsthand. The disciples were with him. And he asked them, who do the crowds say that I am? And he said to them, and they answered, oh, John the Baptist, prophets, all this. But he says, but you, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, the Christ of God. Amen. That's right. This is a turning point in the lives of the apostles. It clicks. Jesus turns to Peter in a different gospel and he says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. Like, this is a huge revelation. And when did this revelation come to Peter? When Jesus was praying. Jesus prays and people receive this knowledge. The eyes are opened. Go to the next slide. It says, now about 8 days after these things, he took with him Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered and his clothes became dazzling white. This is the transfiguration. When did the transfiguration happen? When he was praying. Not just when he was on the mountain. When he was on the mountain praying. He's praying and all of a sudden he has this vision of God and he's transformed. Big things happen when Jesus prays, right? Go to the next one. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter temptation. It's a garden of Gethsemane, and he's there with Peter, James, and John together. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. Jesus prayed. He prayed before he went to the cross. And he was strengthened by God, by an angel. How awesome. But you think, what did he tell his disciples? Pray that you may not, what? Enter into temptation. Now, I always read this in the past, and I thought, pray that you may not enter temptation. Then he comes back, and he finds them 3 times they fell asleep. I thought Jesus was telling them, pray that you don't fall asleep. Right? That you, because the body is, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Pray that you don't fall into temptation, that you can stay awake. And that's what I really thought. You can be awake when the guards come. But I realized that that's not what Jesus was telling the apostles. He was telling them, pray that you may not fall into temptation, because he's about to be arrested and put on trial, and they're about to fall away, run away from him. What do the disciples do at this time? They fall asleep. They don't pray, they fall asleep. And then later what happens? They run away. What did Jesus do during this time? He prayed. And then what happened? He was strengthened by the angel, and he was able to undergo the suffering that his disciples couldn't. He prayed. He prayed. Powerful things happen when Jesus prays. And I'm here to tell you, powerful things happen when you pray. Jesus gave us an example to follow. He's the Son of God, right? What's the point? He could have just come down as the Son of God and done the powerful things on himself. Why did he have to pray? Because he came as a man to show us how to live our life. And if Jesus came to model for us that this is what I do when I make decisions, I pray. And this is what I do when I need strength to withstand, I pray. And this is what I do, I pray. It's because he's teaching us. He's not alone, because they record these things. They record them for our benefit, so we know we gotta pray. Now put up that last Luke slide. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. They saw that Jesus was a man of prayer. They saw him praying all the time. They said, Lord, teach us to live like that. We want to pray. And we know that Jesus gave him the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Now, Jesus is praying all night. Do you think that Jesus is praying, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be, over and over and over and over again? No. A lot of times we look at that, you know, this is the model prayer, this is what I have to pray. But Jesus didn't just pray that over and over and over. That's ridiculous. Jesus is showing these are the things we pray about. This is how we pray. We pray to our Father. We glorify him. We confess our sins. We ask for forgiveness. We forgive those who have anything against us. We ask for his help and his provision, right? It's not about a useless repetition of words. It's about our heart. That's what Jesus is teaching. So we're going to talk about the fact that we value prayer. And then the other thing we value is worship. That putting God first in our lives. You know, in Deuteronomy, where Jesus quotes when he's talking to Satan, he says, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Because worship and service were kind of synonyms. They didn't have exactly the same meaning, but they were synonyms. They had similar meanings. Because to worship God is to serve God. To put him first in your life. To follow after him. To say, God, you are worthy of my obedience. You know that worship? Worthy. That's where it comes from. Worship, worthy. God, you are worthy of my obedience. You are worthy of my praise. You are worthy of all the accolades and high fives and wow, that was awesome that I can give. You are worthy of my life. I give it to you. This worship and prayer. So we're going to pray today. I'm going to kind of I'm going to show you kind of the way that I often will pray. It's based off of tabernacle prayers that actually my uncle, Pastor Randy Sanford, he's going to come and he's going to teach this in March while we're gone at the marriage retreat and the men's retreat. He's going to come and teach about these tabernacle prayers. And this is, a lot of this comes from that. But we're going to practice it today, so be ready to hear it later. So when I pray, the first thing we need to do when we pray is to get our hearts and ourselves ready. And there's a lot of ways we can do that. If you put up the next slide, as we prepare to come into the presence of God, we dedicate the time to him. Say, God, I'm giving this to you. I'm going to focus on you alone. We ask for his tangible leading and power as we pray, and we cast all our cares and anxieties on him. And it's so important to cast your worries on God when you pray. Because otherwise, God's going to be trying to talk to you and show you how to pray, but you're going to be keep thinking about, oh man, what am I going to do when my Aunt Lori comes over, and what am I going to prepare? And, oh, but I'm going to pray. I'm praying right now. Okay, Heavenly Father, and I pray for Julie, and I pray for, but what am I going to do when Aunt Lori comes over, and what am I going to make for dinner? Oh, but I'm praying right now. Right? We got to prepare that space in our mind and cast those anxieties and those cares on him. So I'm going to give you guys a little bit of freedom. I'm going to pray this first. Just for myself, and then I'm going to give you guys time to pray. And you can do that as a married couple. If you're here with your kids, your family, you can do that as a family. If you're here by yourself, or even if you're here as a married couple or a family and you think that it's right now to pray by yourself, I give you that freedom. Pray as you feel led. And if you want to move around here in the sanctuary, go ahead. Come to the altar, spread out, come together. Whatever you feel led to do, do it. But we're going to come into the presence of our Father right now. Julie, if you'd come up and start playing a little bit, and I'll just pray. And then after I'm done, I'm going to stop, and it's your guys' time. And I want to tell you, if it's silent in here, if it sounds silent, doesn't have to be uncomfortable. Silence isn't a bad thing. Silence is when God can talk to us. Or if you guys are praying out loud, that's fine too, but I just want you to be comfortable with silence if that's what happens. Lord, we give this time to you, and I pray that this would be an intimate and sweet time with you. Lord,
I know your presence is here. I pray that you would allow your presence to be felt, that our hearts would be open to receiving it. Thank you, Jesus. May you be glorified in this time. May this be uplifting to you, Lord. May your name be lifted up through this. I love you, Lord God. I give this time to you. I pray, Lord, that you would direct us as we come into your presence, Lord. And I give you my fear and anxiety. And Lord, I give you this church. I know that this is not my church, this is your church. That its growth, its success is not about me, it's about you. Lord, that I am weak so that you can be strong in me, so that you can receive glory in me. I give you that, Lord. I give you my marriage. I thank you for my wonderful wife. I lay her down before you, and I pray you'd take care of her, Lord God. Strengthen her body. Bless her at work, Lord. I give you our finances. I'm not going to worry about retirement. I'm going to do what I can and lay it at your feet and trust you, God. You've got that. That's on your hands. I love you, Lord. Thank you for taking care of that. And thank you for taking care of my family, God. Draw them close to you. I choose not to worry or stress, but just to love them and love you and know that you're going to take care of them. Thank you, Lord. The next important thing as we dedicate our time to him and give him our anxiety so that our mind is clear and ready to hear his voice, the next thing we do, or I do, I know I need to repent. If you put that next slide up, I need to repent and come before God's presence, remember his commands, and apologize, confess that I blow it, and repent and turn away from those things. And this is just to kind of get your brain going. Any time that you haven't put God first in your life, where you've allowed something else to be more important to you than God, whether it's his promise or a family member or a person, where you haven't honored God the way you should have, or let your example honor him, or honored him with your words, or been thoughtless with your words. By our words we shall be judged, by our words we shall be condemned. The Sabbath, we haven't found our rest in Jesus, where I've strived and tried to do it on my own instead of resting in his grace. Where I haven't honored my parents or anyone in authority over me. Respected them, not just with my words, but my thoughts. Where I have been angry, not just murder, but angry with someone else. Called them a fool or an idiot. How many times have I done that while driving? I commit adultery, where I've allowed that lust in my heart. Where I haven't looked at people with purity. Those thoughts. Jesus says that's the same as adultery. That lying. Or withholding the truth, white lies, trying to shade things so I look good. That stealing and that really that envy and coveting where I'm not satisfied with what God has given me. These things are breaking God's commandments. And this is a time now to repent and confess of those things between you and God. Thank you. confess that, Lord, I've put myself first so many times, and I've been my own idol. Lord, I've sought my own benefit, my own good above yours or other people, and I repent of that. I'm sorry, Jesus. Please forgive me. Please forgive me, God, when I haven't had your heart and hadn't had compassion on people the way that I should have. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. Oh, Lord, when I haven't trusted you, you've done everything to show me you're faithful, and I haven't trusted. I confess that to you, God. My pride, forgive me, God. Lord, I haven't taken the opportunities to love my wife the way I should have. Forgive me, God. I confess that. And then as we confess and repent, it's important. The next thing is claiming those promises of forgiveness. That I am washed by the blood of Jesus. That he has removed my sins away from me as far as the east is from the west. That in Christ I am a new creation. The old things are gone, the new things have come. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God, that I am a new man. That I am covered in you. Thank you, Lord. I receive your righteousness. Oh, and I just picture myself being washed by the blood of Jesus. That suffering that he did, it makes me clean and whole and white. And all those sins, everything I confessed, my guilt, the fact that I don't measure up, I'm not enough, it's all gone. I'm washed and I'm clean. I'm whole and perfect in his sight. Take a minute with you and God and just accept that and receive that and claim that for yourself. We declare that and we receive that grace. It just leads to thanksgiving and praise and worship in our heart. To thank the God who has cleansed us, who has made us whole and bought us, not because of any right thing we've done, but because of his love. And so we're going to sing this worship song. We're going to worship him in that heart and attitude and declare these truths about who God is. Oh, and put up that forever rain.
Lay for all to see, you are light, you are light. When the darkness closes in, you are hope, you are hope. You have covered all my sin. Let's sing that again. Lord, you are good. Sing, you are good, you are good. When there's nothing good in me, you are love, you are love. On display for all to see, you are light, you are light. When the darkness closes in, you are hope, you are hope. You have covered all my sin. You are peace, Lord, you are peace, you are peace. When my fear is crippling, you are true, you are true. Even in my wandering, you are joy, you are joy. You're the reason that I sing. You are life, you are life. In you death has lost its sting. Sing, oh, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will heaven will proclaim you are here, you are here. In your presence I'm made whole. You are God. Of all else I'm letting go. Sing out, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever reign. My heart will sing no other name. Jesus, Jesus. My heart will sing no other name. Jesus, Jesus. My heart will sing no other name. Jesus, Jesus. My heart will sing no other name than Jesus, than Jesus. Sing, oh, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever reign. You are good, Lord.
Amen, amen. And then the next thing is to just ask the Holy Spirit to come and flood my heart, to give me light, to be a light unto my path, like the Word of God. The Holy Spirit comes and lights up the Word of God to me. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would come and correct me where I need corrected, and that He would speak to me and that I would hear His voice. Holy Spirit, please come, please, and enter me anew, afresh. Fill me with boldness and courage, Lord. Oh, God, thank you. Speak to me, Lord. Julie, if you would go into that next song, and if you guys would just be inviting and listening the Holy Spirit and worshiping, we ask the Holy Spirit to come.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence. nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. And I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord, Lord, come, Lord, come. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come, flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. And Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come, flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, sweetness of your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord. Lord, come, and Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come, flood this place, fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. And Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come, flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Oh, amen, amen. And this next one is too important to skip. This is the presence of Christ. As we come into the before God and the Holy Spirit, it's like that lampstand shining. He just shines light on us. Now we come and take of that bread of the presence, the bread of communion that it symbolizes, and we recognize we are one with Christ. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. And the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And as we commune with Jesus and remember that he is in us, I don't live, Jesus lives. It's not James anymore, it's Jesus. That in Jesus, I am complete. That if I am in Jesus, I am perfect. I don't lack anything. There's nothing that I need because Jesus is in me. I have him. He is my bread of life. I'm perfect in God's sight and have every resource I need because I'm in Jesus. And if I'm in Jesus and I have his character, I'm righteous before God. He sees me as pure and holy because he looks at me and he sees Jesus is living inside of me. And if I'm in Jesus and I have Jesus' calling, then he has called me just like he was called to go and preach good news, to heal broken hearts, to open blind eyes, to tell people about the year of the Lord's favor, that same calling of Jesus is on me. He's anointed me for such a time, and I have the compassion and heart of Jesus to love people the way he does. This is the most powerful part of my prayer time, is when I just remember that Jesus is living inside of me and what that means. Take some time now and reflect and pray that. Thank you, Jesus, for being in me. Thank you, Lord. Connection that we have, that communion we have with Jesus, we know we can pray his heart, and the Father hears because he's listening to his Son praying through us, the Holy Spirit teaching us how to pray. And it's that time that I pray for needs of the community. You can pray for salvation for people who don't know God, for people who are in need, that God would give us a heart of love for those who are lost. I pray this, Lord, give me a heart for those who are lost. And pray, if you put up the next slide, needs of our church, the different ministries that are going on, the women's and men's and children and the 50-plusers, the meetings that are coming up for our leadership, the council and elders and pastors and staff. Lift us up, and you know you have the heart of Jesus as you pray. And then the next slide, for needs around the world, whether it's here close to home like Burns, or the other side of the world like the Sunny Day Orphanage, for the church, for ISIS, where there are so many brothers and sisters in Christ, we lift them up and pray for our government as well, our president, or for our governor. Take just we're over on time, so just 2 minutes and pray as the Spirit leads you to pray before we move on here. Our community, that you would stir us up and give us a love and passion for our neighbors and for our co-workers. Lord God, teach us to reach out to them. Lord, give us that perspective of eternity and help us to not live for this life but for the next, and to sow into people's hearts, because only our neighbors are eternal. Everything else passes away, but their lives last forever. Not my money, and not my job, not my clothes, but my neighbor. Help me to love, Lord, like you love. If you put up that next slide. Is that it? Okay. All right. The last thing then is just to glorify God, to praise him as who he is, the wonderful King of Kings. And so we're going to end with just one more brief song about just lifting God up.
Christ, please stand with me as we glorify God with this last song. The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. For how great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. Oh, and age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, and Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. For how great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. How great you are, oh, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. You are the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise, and my heart will sing how great is our God. You are the name above all, and worthy of all praise, and my heart will sing how great is our God. Yes, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God.
Next thing I have to say is so important, is that this doesn't just happen here. We did this together, so you see an example. You do this at home. This is with you. Jesus would go away and pray by himself, or pray with your families and sing. Put on a worship CD and sing to her. Just sing some choruses you have memorized, but praise and worship him as a value that we hold as a church. I just love to see it in action. Praise God. You guys, if there's anybody here who doesn't know the Lord, I'm going to invite you to come down and grab me, and I'm going to pray with you and walk you into a relationship with Jesus and his grace. Come here. I'm going to be right down here in front waiting for you.
For the rest of you guys, God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. God is good. Go out praising and worshiping him in that same attitude, and I'll see you next week. Praise God.